Tell the truth. Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, your home for news and information. The speech is free, but the network isn't. We have bills to pay, so help us pay our bills. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send a donation. You probably noticed that within the past few days, you might have had trouble getting to rbn.org. So don't take it for granted, because anything can be attacked. So do that, and then go to nationalbugle.com, peruse the articles, download the kosher-certified app, lead a non-kosher-certified lifestyle. Okay, this is Monday. We have with us Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, my friend. It is very good to be here, and you may have noticed something different about me today. I am sounding slightly hoarse, slightly worse for wear, but that is not a bad thing. You might be wondering, why is that not a bad thing?
Well, I'm wondering that. What happened?
I am going to tell you why it's not a bad thing. It is not a bad thing because I spent the weekend out in the beautiful English countryside where I was joined by over 140 other nationalists, as it was the year's, or the annual, should I say, Patriotic Alternative Camp and Hike, which was held in an absolutely beautiful location. And I was lucky enough to be surrounded not just by the beautiful English countryside, but by hundreds of wonderful patriotic individuals, hundreds of nationalists, who all believe that we as people deserve our own homeland. We did an incredible hike. We did two. There was two hikes put on. One was a 12-mile hike and one was a 6-mile hike. And people got to choose which one they preferred. And after that was concluded, we met during the hike. The two hikes actually intersect, so the two groups could meet together. And then we finished as a group. And as we finished the hike as a group, we got to the highest peak in the area, which is called Mam Tor, and we unveiled a gigantic 14-meter banner, which read, "We will not be replaced." And we flew that from the highest peak in the area so that everyone could see it. And we had dozens of flags, other banners. It was a real spectacle. And then after that, we descended from the peak and enjoyed an evening of socializing, barbecue, folk music that went on into the night. So a real, real success, and double the numbers, in fact, that we had last year.
That sounds great. It's great to be able to do in real life events that aren't being attacked, where people go home feeling good about everything rather than worrying about the police record that they're going to have. So that's all very positive.
Well, one of the things we do to ensure there isn't going to be any trouble is we now have vetted events and we have vetted regional groups. So you can be an activist and a supporter, or you can be a vetted activist and supporter. And those who are vetted, we know who they are, so that when they come into groups, we know that we aren't being spied upon by people. And if we are, we have those people's details. So we do our very best to secure the safety of our supporters and our activists. And I think everyone had a really, really good time. I think everyone really enjoyed themselves. People met old friends, people made new friends. And really, it was a very, very positive event. So I'm hoping that we can build on this further as, with a bit of luck, the lockdown restrictions will continue to ease. And if they do continue to ease, I'm hoping that this year will be a real year of growth and progress for our organization.
So is the Day of Freedom still scheduled for the 19th, a week from today?
It is still scheduled, but like turkeys voting for Christmas, you can actually see a number of different people who are, when I say a number, hundreds of thousands who are now signing petitions for the government to basically still demand the wearing of masks in shops and certain other buildings. So I'm not really sure whether it'll go ahead as people like myself and you would want it to, but we shall see, because there's pressure from all sides at the moment. There is pressure on the government not to completely repeal the draconian and tyrannical laws, but there is also pressure from backbench Tories and a lot of people who want all restrictions gone. So we'll have to see what takes place. And when I say we'll have to see, that sounds like a bit of a cop-out answer, as if I don't want to fully give my opinion on this. But it's very, very hard to actually tell what will happen, because we see so many different changes and have seen so many different changes over the last year and 3 months, where we've been assured that things will end and they haven't. We've been told we don't need masks, then we do. And we have been assured repeatedly that there wouldn't be COVID passports. But in the last couple of days, we have been told there will be COVID passports for pubs, for restaurants. And all of a sudden, we are seeing a return of the discussion on COVID passports, which is, of course, has been completely masked by the football. So whilst everyone's been watching England play football, everyone's been supporting this very, very multiracial, anti-white team. And when I say anti-white, I mean they're anti-white because of their politics. They all take the knee, they all support BLM. The England team got to the final a bit, but were defeated last night in epic fashion on penalties, or during a penalty shootout. And that's been pushed down our throat, that this is all about unity, that this is all about bringing people together. But during all of that, and during all of the beer and the cheering, people seem to have missed the fact that Boris Johnson has eagerly announced that we will be seeing COVID passports coming in soon. And that was something, again, that he promised we wouldn't be having. He said we would not be having it. It wasn't a British thing. It would be against British values. But here we are. That slides under the radar. And now we can see that the freedoms that we thought we were getting back are already being taken away by stealth.
Mm-hmm. Who is it that is signing these petitions saying we don't want our freedom?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about this, because this is very interesting. I got a email from change.org. Keep legal requirements to wear face.
Right. Yeah. And change.org, that is actually really is a Soros funded nonprofit organization, isn't it?
Yes, and it says this is the email I got. Keep legal requirement to wear face coverings in shops and supermarkets after July the 19th. Now, you can actually sign this with a single click, and it's asking me to sign this, which I'm not doing. I'm being very careful not to click in the wrong place. But 181,673 people, it's just gone up by three, as we've just been talking, have signed this petition. In fact, it's now gone up by five people have signed this petition, apparently, whilst we were talking. And people are actually signing this en masse. All the people who absolutely think that this is a wonderful idea are signing this en masse to try and keep these horrific restrictions in place. So I would say it's a bit like turkeys voting for Christmas. People are desperate to have their own rights and freedoms taken away from them. But what can you do? I mean, some of these people they will probably have been quite heavily indoctrinated. Some of these people will have bought into Project Fear. Some of these people will be probably decent people who are just absolutely terrified. But some of these people will be actively on it. And I wonder how many fake accounts have been set up to pad that out. But then again, is it even a meaningful number? There's some 66 million people in the UK. If 200,000 people sign a petition, does that represent a meaningful number? And have there been petitions on change.org to repeal the COVID restrictions? Yes. Did they get hundreds of thousands of signatures? Yes. Did change.org honour those petitions and leave them up? No, they took them down. So I'm not a fan of change.org. I think the people running it are very scummy. I think they're very selective in what they allow on their site, which obviously gives a very biased view of the political landscape in the UK.
Okay. Well, I was trying to look at the team on change.org, who's on the team, but I'm not, it's not responding very well, but it looks very shady to me. I get it a little bit confused with MoveOn.org. MoveOn.org had appeared in the wake of 9/11, and it seemed to be something that was against wars, but eventually morphed into just another pro-democratic party website. And I think Change, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where Change.org came from. But at any rate, not good people. So we've got...
They're not good people, but this is... I mean, before we go on to something else, I think this is an important point to raise here, because I don't think I've discussed this with you. And I have, my apologies. If I've already discussed this with you and we've talked about this, you know, at length before, then my apologies. I just don't remember talking about this with you. But isn't it funny how all of these fact-checking websites and petition websites and activism websites are always from a left-wing point of view? So I remember doing the fact check on that woman. Her name slips my mind. She was a Jewish. She was a terrorist. She's on the Black Lives... Susan Rosenberg. Yeah, that's the one. On the Thousand Currents fundraising board for Black Lives Matter. And I remember putting in, is she a terrorist? And it comes to a fact-checking site. In fact, I'm going to actually do this live. Is Susan Rosenberg a terrorist? And I bet there's a fact-checking site here. Snopes. Did a convicted terrorist sit on the board of a BLM funding body? So you go down here, claim, and it says Susan Rosenberg is a convicted terrorist who was sat on the board of the directors of Thousand Currents, an organization which handles fundraising for the BLM Global Network. And it says, rating, mixture, half true, half not. So you're thinking, what is true and what isn't? What's true? Susan Rosenberg has served as vice chair of the board of the directors for Thousand Currents, an organization that provides fundraising and fiscal sponsorship for the Black Lives Matter global movement. She was an active member of revolutionary left-wing movements whose illegal activities include bombing US government buildings and committing armed robberies. So if that's all true, how can this be mixed? What's undetermined? In the absence of a single universally agreed definition of terrorism, it is a matter of subjective determination as to whether the actions for which Rosenberg was convicted and imprisoned, possession of weapons and hundreds of pounds of explosives, should be described as acts of domestic terrorism. I mean, what a complete and utter joke. And when you're reading something like that, you immediately know that has been carefully... There's been people sat in a room carefully discussing how that could be worded. So it is not worded as, yes, conclusively, a terrorist, a Jewish terrorist was sat on the board of a fundraising group. I mean, obviously, we know it is conclusively absolutely true. But you can see here that they're doing everything they can to not admit that. And it's the same with change.org. If I started a petition today saying petition to pressure the government into debating the... into dropping the requirement for vaccine passports, that wouldn't even be allowed on change.org. It might be up there for an hour or so. It might be up there, you know, for just for minutes. It might not even get up on the site. But one thing's for sure, it wouldn't be allowed to run its course. It wouldn't be allowed to be up there for 2 weeks, a month, whatever it was up there for. And because of that, you can see that all of these fact-checking sites, all these petition sites, they are being used to push a narrative and to skew the political discourse, and so that the media can then say, we went to independent fact-checkers, this isn't true. Oh, we went to change.org and we can see that the overwhelming majority of people using that site want masks to stay. Well, that's because all of the people who wanted the opposite thing have been kicked off the site and have had their petitions banned. But it's a very, very interesting way, another interesting way, that the establishment, that liberals, that the people pushing anti-white rhetoric use supposedly independent sites to make it look like public opinion is completely in the favour of progressive or anti-white or anti-freedom policies.
So now, are you able to just start your own petition at change.org? Is that the thing? And is that it?
I haven't looked into it. And to be honest, if I'm pretty sure that if I did try something like this, it wouldn't be up for long, especially if it was in my name.
Right. So I mean, I went and I clicked on their team. It says team. Look at the team, and there's this massive page. I can't believe all of these would possibly be paid staff, but there's obviously, so you see pictures, names, and then job titles and locations. And first of all, everybody looks to be a millennial. They all look to be of this age group. And they all have these smiling faces, some with dogs, some like with giant flower hats and big gay smiles. A lot of them look very, very gay. But you just keep scrolling down, and eventually I guess you're getting to people who are just members, but they go down and down and down, and you know, you scroll down and then you'll see so-and-so, a picture of a black lady, and it says software engineer in Paris. And you know, I at some point I wonder how many of these are even real, but you see just see all these smiling millennials as you go down and down and down and down. And something about it seems very, very fake and contrived. But you know, towards the top of the page you're getting titles that seem like titles in this organization that seem like they would be professionals. There must be a lot of money behind this. And
there'll be a huge amount of money behind this, and these are the kind of groups that I believe are funded by the likes of George Soros and other people. People say these things are conspiracy theories. I don't think they're conspiracy theories. I think they're conspiracies, and I believe that these are the groups that are funded by these billionaires, because they are groups. And I've had this myself when I was on Facebook. Obviously, I'm not on Facebook anymore. I was kicked off Facebook. I'm not allowed a Facebook account. But when I was on Facebook, I remember arguing with some girl about something where I actually knew exactly what I was talking about. And I knew she knew very little about what she was talking about. And I remember her coming back to me and saying, but I've been to Snopes and it agrees with my opinion. And I just remember thinking, well, there really is no helping you. There really is no arguing with you, because you've gone to this site and it's completely agreed with everything you say. And obviously the site is absolutely biased, but because it calls itself the unbiased independent fact checker, and it says that in the banner headline, you believe it, you think it backs up your point of view, and now you think that I'm some mad conspiracy theorist. And ultimately, that's the point, isn't it? That is the point of these sites. That's what they're there for.
Right. As if we have an independent media, as if we have these independent fact checkers. All right, well, we're up on the first break, so we'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
And we are back, and you mentioned that you were watching England in the finals. This is what, the European Cup finals?
It was the European Championship finals. England, every 4 years, there's the European Championships, which determines the best national team in Europe.
These are national teams. This isn't the Cup Winners' Cup, but this is...
No, this isn't the European Champions League. That's something different. This is the national teams of each nation entering into a two-stage tournament to determine the European champions.
And
the
Europe's great watching all those young English lads, with all their blue eyes, all the English lads out there playing for their mother country, right?
Something like that. The problem is, this time, around 50% of the England team are only here because of immigration. And I'll read you some facts, because people who are very much in favor of immigration have been over the moon about this. Here are some quotes. The first: the England team would not exist without immigration. Choose love. The next: England 2021, England squad without immigration. And it shows that of the, how many players? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Of the 26 players that went to the tournament, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 13 of those players, 50% of the squad, would not be there without immigration.
here's another one. It's coming home. 8 of our 11 England players at least have... That's 11's the actual squad that plays. 26 is the squad that goes. This is from rescueuk.org. 8 of our 11 England players have at least one parent or grandparent born overseas. The squad shows us what we can achieve when we welcome diversity and celebrate those who call our country home. And the narrative from liberals on the left has been that England have done really well, that England were going to win. England didn't win. But England were going to win, and it was going to be this huge victory for diversity. It was going to be this absolutely massive victory for multiculturalism, multiracialism, and it was going to be the definitive proof that England and Britain need diversity. And I believe this was going to be pushed down our throat to an unbelievable degree. I believe this was going to be pushed down our throat to a level that we never ever even imagined, because they were getting ready for this. Mm-hmm. The headlines were already written. England's most diverse team ever wins first footballing silverware for a lot of years. The last time England won the World Cup or won any major international trophy was in 1966, and now it's 2021. So people believed that this was going to be the big one. This was going to end all those years of failure, and it was all going to be down to this very, very multiracial team. And it wasn't just a multiracial team. That's the problem, Patrick. This wasn't just about the team being multiracial. This was about the team also supporting anti-white policies. So what we actually had was a team that took the knee. What we actually had was a team that before every single match got down on one knee and through the national anthem before the game started. I actually didn't watch any of the games because I will not support a team that's anti-white. But what we actually saw was this team getting down, taking the knee, and doing this for BLM. So it was a 50% non-white team that ultimately took a anti-white political stance and was pushing that on football fans. Now, many of the fans booed this, many of the fans didn't like it, but they did it anyway. And when non-white players scored goals, these non-white players went absolutely crazy with holding their, pointing to their ears, saying, "Are you booing now? Why aren't you booing us now? Well, now we've scored goals. Stop your booing. We're taking the knee. We're doing this regardless of whether you like it or not." And I believe if England had won, all of this would have led to some of the most anti-white headlines we've ever seen. It would have been used as a way to push diversity upon the masses. And it would have been used to push anti-white politics. It would have been used to sell diversity, to sell immigration, ultimately to sell white genocide. And obviously, who are the people who usually support England during the football? Well, it's white working people. It's people who are the, true Englishmen. True Englishmen, true English women support the England football team. And that is being used as a vector to push multiracialism, multiculturalism upon those people, which is obviously very, very nefarious.
Okay, I have a couple of questions. The first one, which is a quick question because we're coming up towards the break, is which side put England out of its misery?
It was Italy. And Italy, I've not seen the makeup. Well, I've seen some pictures of the makeup of their team, and their team, it does look overwhelmingly Italian. I think there was only one black in their team.
Okay. All right. The next question, which you'll have to answer on the other side of the break, but you can think about it, is wasn't there any pushback from the 13 white English players? But we'll be back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And we are back, and so Italy beat England. Italy had a pretty Italian-looking team, apparently. The English team, 50% of the players were non-white, but or non-English. But the team as a whole was taking the knee during the national anthem. Was that "God Save the Queen"?
Yes, it was.
Taking a knee, and
I'm not sure if it was actually through the national anthem or just before the match. I might be wrong on that. As I said, I didn't watch any of the games. I used to watch England play all the time. I don't watch England play anymore. I didn't watch any of the tournament. The politics pushed during the tournament was all progressive anti-white nonsense that I just don't have any time for.
Right.
I know it's only a small protest for me to switch it off, but if enough people make that small protest and switch it off, I think that can make a big difference.
Well, that's the name of the game, is none of us by ourselves can accomplish anything, but if enough of us act together, even making these small contributions, these small efforts, it can achieve everything we need. So wasn't there anybody on the team who said, hey, I don't know about this kneeling business or anything else? Was there nobody on the team who pushed back at all?
No. Every single one of them took the knee. Every single one of them took the knee. There was no pushback whatsoever. And the white players were just as enthusiastic about this as the non-white players. So this wasn't a case of well, the black players did it, and they weren't all compelled to do it. They all took the knee. They were all part of this sort of anti-white madness. And that really defined their tournament. Making that stand defined their tournament as much as the football did. And it got a lot of headlines. A lot of people talked about it. A lot of people were very vocal about it. The fans booed it. A lot of politicians called for those booing it to be thrown out of the ground and for the police to investigate. I mean, can you imagine that, police investigating people for booing footballers? Absolutely ridiculous. But that was the stance that was taken. And I believe, had England won, it would have been a very bad thing for the English people. I think had the English won, you would have seen a situation where all forms of national pride would have been centred around diversity. This would have been sold as, this was the greatest moment in English history since 1966. It's the most multicultural team. It's multiracial. And it shows, basically, that's what we need now to be great. What made England great, what made English football great, what united us as a nation was this multiracial football team, this woke multiracial football team, and we should all be thankful for that. I think that would have been the message, and I think that message would have been taken up by a lot of people. But obviously, as that didn't actually happen, it's thrown a bit of a spanner in the works. And today, kind of ironically, and this is something that I do find rather amusing, the players that missed the penalties and actually fluffed it for England were three black players. The white players who took the penalties scored, and the black players didn't. So what we're actually seeing now is quite a bit of backlash against these players, and people saying, well, you know, it was the white guys that did the business on the night, not the non-whites. And I think it has slightly backfired upon the multiracialists, the multiculturalists, the liberals. Okay. But interestingly, throughout this, and this is maybe something you want to comment on or think about, or very interesting for the audience, I didn't support the team. Ethno-nationalists weren't supporting the team. But the two sets of people that were supporting the team, and this is quite interesting, were the liberals, for obvious reasons, but also the civic nationalists. A lot of CivNats who deny race were right behind that, which is obviously very, very disappointing.
So the matches, you have 90 minutes in regulation, and so apparently it was a draw. I don't know if it was not or 1-1, but it was a draw at the end of regulation. And then what typically is overtime, then 30 minutes, an additional 30 minutes. And then if that's still a draw, you go to the penalty kicks.
That's exactly what happened. And that's exactly where England flubbed it. As soon as it got to the penalties, everything went downhill. But I didn't think England were going to win. And the reason I didn't think England were going to win was because they scored very early on. They scored after about 2 or 3 minutes. They got the perfect start. But often, when a team gets that perfect start and they get an early goal, England scored after about 2 or 3 minutes. And often when one team scores really early, that team then sits back on that goal and thinks, we just need to defend our one goal for the rest of the 90 minutes. And if you're scoring very early in the first 2 or 3 minutes, that means you're sitting back for 87 minutes plus injury time. And the other team have that impetus. They are then desperate to push forward, and they spend the entire game pushing forward and slowly wearing down the team that's sitting on their one goal lead. And that's exactly what's happened to England. And I've seen that happen to them before. England don't really seem to know how to play when they've scored a goal. And Italy eventually equalized after 67 minutes. It went to extra time, it went to penalties. And it was almost as if the England manager, Gareth Southgate, had picked these three black players to be the heroes. There were better, more experienced players that should have been picked to take the penalties. But he picked these three black players to stand up at the end. And I think he was believing in his mind that if these guys scored, they would be the heroes and they would be remembered as the three men that stepped up and won it for England. And obviously that backfired absolutely horribly. And they completely fluffed it. Three penalties missed in a row. Italy took it home. And that was that. But I think it was all being choreographed spectacularly to say not only was it a multiracial team, not only was it 50% multiracial, far more multiracial than the country is as a whole, not only did that multiracial team push anti-white politics, but it was this trio of black men that stood up at the end, scored the three goals, were the heroes, brought it home for England. Now, white man, get on your knees, accept your fate. You're being bred out of existence and you're going to like it because you've got bread and circuses. You've got your trophy. You've had your football. Now be written out of history. I think that's how it was all being set up.
Mm-hmm. Well, OK, a couple of interesting points. So one, you said that these three players weren't necessarily among the top five people who should have been taking it. They were more experienced players who had this been based purely on ability, they probably wouldn't have been there. They're kind of affirmative action penalty kickers, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I wouldn't say affirmative action. They're not completely useless at football. They're not people who are absolutely talentless and useless. That would be unfair to say, and they're clearly far better at football than I am. Not that that takes particularly much. I was never a great footballer, but they weren't the best people there for the job, I don't believe. I think they were specifically chosen because it was being set up so that it could be written in such a way that the victory wasn't just going to be for the multiracial team as a whole, but it was going to be a victory for the non-white part of the team. It was going to be absolute victory and endorsement of immigration, diversity, and ultimately white genocide, to the point where these guys were going to be the ones that would have been, because if you're the last guy to take the penalty, if your penalty kick is the one that wins it for the team, and generally speaking, once you get into, there's five penalties taken, so once you're any point after, you can never win it with spot kick one or spot kick two. The earliest time you can win it in the penalties is after the third penalty has been taken. Because the other team, if they miss the first penalty, well, unlucky, but you've got four more chances. If you miss the second, well, it's looking shaky, but you can still win it. But if you miss three penalties, that is the earliest time the penalty shootout can end. So for the last three to be picked as black players, had England scored every penalty and Italy missed one, two or three penalties, it would have been a black player with the winning spot kick. That player would have been the one lifted up and held aloft. They would have been the one that would have been credited with that winning penalty, that penalty that caused all the England fans to jump to their feet, cheering and hollering. They would have been the one whose picture would have been on T-shirts. They would have been the one interviewed. They would have been the one on the front of the commemorative Blu-ray case. You know, you'd have gone into Tesco's and seen that night, you know, the Blu-ray with the extra commentary, with the interviews with the players. And that black man who would have scored that winning goal would have been front and centre on that case, celebrating or being held aloft by the other players. I think that's what it was all for. It had all been choreographed to cause that ending.
Right. So not just that three out of the five people doing penalty kicks were black, but that they were the third, fourth, and fifth penalty kicks. And so if England was to win, it would have to be on one of their kicks. There's no way that England could win without a black player kicking the winning kick.
Exactly. It was set up for that because you can, as I said, the earliest you can win is on the third penalty. The earliest you can win. You can't win before that. It's impossible. It's mathematically impossible. The earliest you can win is the third penalty. And then obviously you can win at any point after that. But the third, fourth and fifth penalty takers were chosen to all be these black players. And they weren't potentially the most experienced either. There would have been more experienced white players who should have been taking those penalties. But I think it was set up for this massive win for multiculturalism and multiracialism, which obviously has now completely failed, has now backfired, because there's all of the failures now heaped on these three players who choked in front of the biggest audience and completely flubbed it. So I think one of them even wasn't even on target, because there's two things that can happen with a penalty. The first, or two things you have to do. The first thing you have to do is be on target, i.e. hit it so it would go into the goal. Mm-hmm. The second thing you have to do is beat the keeper. So the first thing is one thing that all footballers should be able to do. You should be able to get it on target. Whether you beat the keeper or not, that's partly down to you, and that's partly down to the skill of the goalkeeper, whose reflexes and anticipation for which way you're going to go. If he anticipates it correctly or has wonderful reflexes, he can stop that. He can stop the ball. But one of these players didn't even hit the target.
Mm-hmm. So it went, all five of them got a chance to kick. Does that mean that two Italian players had missed as well, and they wound up winning 3-2? Is that what happened?
Let me actually look. I'll see if I can bring up the results. I'll see if I can actually bring up the results in front of me, because it was.
And who was the British keeper? Was the British keeper a white English lad?
I think he was Scottish.
Because there's this whole thing about Scottish goalkeepers, isn't there? But Scotland has its own team, so it couldn't have been a Scottish goalie.
Yeah, the Italians went first and they scored. Then England went and they scored. Italy went and they missed. Then England scored. So at this point, it was 2-1 England. Then Italy stepped up and they scored. Then England missed, so it was 2-2. Italy stepped up and scored. It was 3-2. England missed. Then Italy missed. Now, that was, for them, a big choke. Because if that Italian could have ended it then, and there'd be no way England had won, because England had missed two and Italy had missed one, so England wouldn't have even got up to take the fifth penalty. But they missed, which gave England a lifeline. Then it was all on that last black guy. He had to score, and if he missed, Italy won and there was no more penalties, and he missed. So England missed their last three spot kicks. Mm. It was an absolutely disastrous for penalty takers.
Which one wasn't on target?
I think it was Marcus Rashford who wasn't on target.
Which order was he in?
I think he was the first of the black players to miss. But he wasn't even on target. So, I mean, that is pretty horrendous. If you're paid that much a year and you're meant to be at the very top of your game when it comes to football, and you're not even hitting the target, that's a big problem.
So then the Italian keeper was really, I mean, he wound up being the game winner, right? He's the one who's going to be on the t-shirts in Italy, presumably.
But I think there'll be a lot of t-shirts made, and I think the Italian team, the keeper will probably be the hero of the night. But looking back at it, I think the Italians did us a favor.
I think so too. It's very sad. I mean, it's like when you think of the these events, you're supposed to be able to root for your own side, and here you're in this situation where you're rooting for the other side to do you a favor. It's so sad. And it wasn't just England, because there was a lot of controversy with the Hungarian side of refusing to take a knee for BLM, and a lot of booing of this team or that team. So the whole game's been politicized, but also it's all so representative of what's going on in Europe. With the mass immigration, but it's focused in certain countries. And anyway, we're up at the break, but we'll be right back.
Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Okay, we're back. So we just have a few minutes left. Any final thoughts on the football over the weekend before informing us of your plans for this coming week?
Well, I've got to say, I am a proud Englishman, and obviously I want England to do well in the football, but I want an English team to do well. I want a team that represents England and real ethnic English folk to do well in the football. You see, England is not just a flag. it's not just a patch of land. It's not just a shirt on your back. It matters who's wearing that shirt. It matters who's living on that patch of land. It matters who's waving that flag. All of that matters. And the idea that it's about the shirt or the flag or the land, that isn't nationalism. So I'm actually happy that the multiculturalists haven't been given more ammunition with which to use to defeat us into a mental state where we accept more diversity and more immigration, because our people are taught that it makes us great. It doesn't make us great, and it certainly didn't win us that tournament. But this week I've got a lot of different things on. I've got PWL on Wednesday night. I have I'm with Dr. David Duke on Friday, and I'm going to have a full breakdown of the football and my thoughts about the way it was used as propaganda for my Friday recorded show. And I'm sorry to anyone today if they thought my voice was a little husky, but I have had a very, very busy weekend.
Mm-hmm. So one last question about the football. So the team did get to the finals. Did they play well together as a team?
I think they had one pretty good match. I think they had one pretty good match against Germany, but where they won 2-0. But they also had some games where it was very, very close. They had a very good game against Ukraine where they won 4-0, and that was really their outstanding match. But Ukraine aren't a great footballing nation. I don't think they played particularly well when they came up against decent opposition. I think they were very lucky to beat Denmark. I think they were on the easier side of the draw. I think they obviously played, they did what they needed to do to get to the final, but they didn't, I don't believe they were a team that shined particularly brightly in the way that they played football.
And what did the other teams look like? What did the German team have, like a whole bunch of Turks on it? Or
all I've read is news reports. I can't stress this enough. I did not watch these matches, and the reason I didn't watch these matches or support people in this tournament is because I know what's being pushed, and I know it sounds to some people petty, but to me it's very important. I will not support any endeavor which is actively non-white, and if that means I miss out on something or have to turn my TV off, unfortunately so be it. That is what I will do, because I know it's only a small protest, but if millions of people make that same small protest and viewing figures dip, that does make a difference.
Hey, last question. Does this team then get on an airplane and go off to Japan? Because they're going to have the Olympics, and I know England's not necessarily the same as the United
States. No. Olympics is amateur sports only, whereas football is a professional sport. And if you've entered into the professional field, so for example, if you're a professional heavyweight boxer, you can't compete in the Olympics because it's amateur only. So I don't believe any of those people will be heading off to Japan.
It's sport by sport. They let the professional tennis players play. Some sports they let.
I didn't know that, because I know professional boxers on.
Yeah, the basketball they let professionals play. It's on a sport by sport basis. But anyway, thank you so much for joining.
Well, thank you for having me, and also thank you for that snippet of information at the end. You learn something new every day.
Well, yeah, the pros came in. It was at some point. When I was a kid, it was all amateur, and that was a big. There was a big controversy because of the Soviets. What was an amateur in a Soviet style country? But anyway, that's all we have. So thanks, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you so much. I'll see you then.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with a very exciting episode of National.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.